and gentlemen, and welcome to episode number 480 of the Jersey.net podcast, the weekly Rangers podcast, which is brought to you by fans and for fans, and where the content is, as always, free. We are delighted to once again be backed by Forest Precision Engineering. They are, as we have said last season, we'd like to thank them for backing us, and they are a Glasgow-based engineering company who have a long association with Rangers. For more on what they do, visit their website at www.forestprecisioneng.com. And they also have a stunning executive lounge in the main stand at Ibrox. And if you need more information on that, contact the club directly at hospitality@rangers.co.uk. So all that's left for me to do is to bring in my guests. So welcome, Mr. Stuart Franklin. Is not it's Stuart Weir, my apologies.
of all the insults this early on in the season, I'm sure Stuart will live with it. Anyway, good evening. Yes, it seems no time ago since we were pulling the curtain down in an old season, and looking forward to a new season, whatever that was going to bring. And lo and behold, it's brought quite a lot so far without actually a ball being kicked seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. So this podcast is obviously going to be what would normally be our Friday night preview, but obviously with how Rangers start seasons, you know, this time Friday night we'll be sitting with the feet up, very, very happy. Yes, you know, we always start well, don't we?
Yeah. I'm old enough and long in the tooth enough to remember some dreadful starts to the season that Rangers have made. Some they've recovered from, others they haven't. You only need to go back 12 months to see what can happen in a very short space of time. But let's not dwell on that. Let's look forward to what hopefully will be a happier season.
Yes, let's absolutely. So obviously you touched upon it there at the start. There has been change at the club. I'm not going to go into whether we think Danny Rule was the right man or not, because it's past. It's not worth discussing. So for me, Derek McInnes was a really solid appointment. It's, I think, what we need at this minute in time. What are your thoughts on it?
To be honest, I think it was an appointment that should have been made maybe 2-3 managers ago. I've never understood. Well, I did understand actually why there was a kind of anti-McInnes feeling within the Rangers camp at one point in time. However, it's taken a while for them to come to their senses. And to be honest, if you're looking for two things, you're looking for somebody who's capable, and you're also looking, I think, very importantly, somebody who gets the club. And you know, indeed, certainly gets that, you know, in spades. He's played for Rangers. He knows what it is to wear the blue jersey. He knows what the expectations levels are. And you also have to remember as well, as a player and subsequently as a coach and manager, you would have to think he's maybe picked up one or two tips from those that he's actually played under, including two of the best managers that Rangers have ever had. One might actually qualify for being the greatest in terms of Walter Smith, but he's obviously learnt a lot along the way. He has learnt the hard way at one or two of the clubs. I think last season you saw, if he was given a bit of a free rein and a bit of assistance, what he could achieve at Tynecastle. And it wasn't really any surprise that when Rangers, once he disposed of Danny Rowe, or once he disposed of himself, or whatever way you want to describe it, once he left the building, I don't really think there was a queue at the door to become the next Rangers manager. I think it was down to one guy within the boardroom at Rangers. It was the big hopes were, let's hope he takes it after the way we've mucked him about over the years. And Derek McInnes is now installed and ensconced as the Rangers manager. And I have to say, pretty much doing things his way It's going to be a long season, and I imagine that there'll be a few more things that will have his stamp on it before much longer. But as it stands just now, he hasn't really been tested. His team or his squad or his philosophy hasn't been tested. And, you know, 90 minutes tomorrow night, we'll make sure that's, you know, tried and tested very, very quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I don't disagree with anything you said at all there. You know, he feels like what we need from me at this minute in time, as close to statesman, like, you know, as we've had for quite a while. And I think that's important right now. I think the leadership that he's trying to build as well, he knows what a winning Rangers team is. He knows what the club is. So, you know, I'm quite optimistic. So speaking of him, you know, he's brought in the club have brought in quite a few players this season. Anyone in particular stand out, and why is it Lawrence Shankland?
Yeah, well, you know, there were a lot of people saying that, you know, Rangers need to make some big signings. No, what Rangers really needed to do in a short space of time was make the correct signings. And I think, you know, for several seasons, Rangers have been, you know, trying out for some leadership and somebody who's guaranteed scoring goals. Now, that's not to say that one or two of late haven't scored goals. You know, people throw it back at me about Desser scoring goals and let him go. But, you know, I did say, and I've been proven right, that Rangers wouldn't win a title with Desser's leading their line, and so it proved. All the people that disagreed with me on that one, I haven't seen him coming back to say, no, you got it right. But the thing is, Rangers need a proven goal scorer. Shanklin's not a poacher as such. He's not quite in the McCoy's league as far as that goes, or the Negri league as far as that goes, but he does score goals and scores with great regularity. And I think that'll have to be the basis of Rangers going forward this season, is having somebody there who can score goals. He will need the supply. The supply lines will have to improve, you know, 100% in what they've been in the last couple of years. Because you can be the best striker in the world, if you don't get the ball played into the positions that you want them, it's not going to happen for you. So with that in mind, I think that's going to be just as important as how, you know, how he shows in terms of the goals that he scores. He needs to get the supply and the provision. And if that comes good, then I think he'll score a few goals and Rangers will be better for that.
Yeah, yeah. And is there anyone else from the signings that come out stand out for you? But I suppose before my take on Shankland, just before you answer that, would be that I think he's actually the perfect signing. Obviously, scores goals in the league, leadership, fan of the club. But actually, I think Nadiri, who I think we'll come on to talk about in a few minutes, but I think he will learn a lot from playing with Shankland in terms of being the link-up man as well. Because I think Shankland is more than just a goal scorer. That, to be honest with you, a couple of years ago, I probably would have seen him as just a goal scorer. But from seeing him last season for Hearts a bit, he did link up the play and create a lot more than I sort of thought.
Yeah. I think the question that you asked a minute ago about the new signings, I think I've actually been slightly more interested in who has departed rather than the signings. You know, I think that there was an issue, or it could have been an issue, that Rangers had certain players that nobody else wanted, and it was going to take a bit of leverage to get them out the door. I don't think it's proved that difficult for one of the two of them to move on. I think they found out that maybe they're surplus to requirements, and whilst the money might be quite good in Glasgow, they don't want to be hanging about kicking their heels for 6 months until the next transfer window, and therefore it's best to go just now. I still think there's a huge question mark over you know, who else might leave. I think the obvious question there is, what's going to happen to Raskin? And if Raskin stays, you know, how much is he going to contribute? If he goes, how much money are Rangers going to get for him? And I think, you know, the season's kicking off. We're still in July. We've got a whole month and a, you know, of a transfer window to run. And I think there'll be more comings and goings. I still don't think, I might be proven wrong, they might have already arrived and we just haven't recognised them. I think the Rangers support are looking for a kind of marquee signing or a couple of recognisable names that you go, oh yeah, look at him, he's, you know, he's come in, he could do us a job. I think the support are looking for that. I don't think, nothing against Shanklin, but if he is your biggest and best signing this far, I think that might be a disappointment to one or two, Rangers fans. And I think that, you know, they've signed a good goalkeeper. They've signed another couple of centre backs, defenders, which, you know, who knows how they might turn out. But all in all, I think that it's going to be more interesting to see who else might depart. And again, if it's going to be big money, it's fine saying, oh, Raskin will go for 30 million, or was that 23 million, or was it 17 million or 13 million? We've seen it, you know, season upon season. Chermite might be the same, or Benfica are going to pay 25 million for him. Right, take it now. You know, if anybody's going to turn up with that, you know, just make sure they sign the check properly. In fact, make sure they sign it in blood and take the money and run. But I think the signings that have come in are going to take time. Although in the case of Devlin, he looked as if he was up for it right from the start. You know, so much for the people that are saying, well, is he really Rangers quality? Yes, he is, because actually he knows how to play the game and he knows how to put in a shift, which other Rangers players of late haven't actually been able to do. So, again, it's going to be interesting to see how these guys are bedded in. And again, it's easier for these guys to come in and you know, Rangers start collecting points and start winning games. That's a hell of an easier start than it is to suddenly be chasing your tail and the opposition.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I mean, Cammy Devlin, for me, is exactly what I want in a Rangers midfield when you're running Tanner Dyche, for example. But what you said there, I think is fair in terms of Shanklin being a very, very good signing. However, a lot of fans would be, I don't know if upset's fair, but to be, if he was a marquee signing. So for captain-wise, though, for me, he is absolutely the only choice. I mean, have you, anyone know you're in agreement?
Yeah. I mean, the first thing, Ben, you're picking a captain. One, the first thing is, he has to start games. He has to be a regular. And for all people are saying, oh, he'll play in this position, this guy will do this, and, you know, they've got, you know, Sterling. I mean, Sterling struggled to be fit much of the time. You've got other guys there who are, yeah, they might be considered, but they're only being considered in terms of good attendance. It's not because they've shown anything. There is a real lack of alternatives here. And if you boil it down and you break it down, you're down to one guy, and that's Shanklin. The manager knows what he's like as a player, as a person, and as a captain. And again, if Derek McInnes has been looking at that Rangers team from afar, the one thing he will pick out, given the players that he played with, is a lack of leadership. There is a lack of responsibility, or there was a lack of responsibility. I can't really see that lingering under McInnes. I don't think he'll allow it to linger. I think he'll be asking a few more people to step up. But ultimately, you've got to pick your captain. It could have been Raskin, But the fact of the matter is, you don't know if Raskin's still going to be there, so it's pointless picking a captain who's then going to be sold. So Shanklin is new in the door. He will lead. You know, again, Rangers fans will hope he will lead by example. And I think he was the selection committee or the selection panel had a choice of one and only one. And I know one or two. You read it on social media. Oh, he's not a John Gregg, and he's not a Butcher, and he's not a Goff. We'll point to the Butcher or the Gregg or the Goff or the Barry Ferguson. Point to them in that team just now. I don't see one. So I think it was an easy choice for Derek McInnes to make.
Yeah, and listen, you know, there may not be a Goff or a Butcher, but you know what? You don't need to be. Just be a good captain and a winning captain, right, and just be your own, you know. So in terms of not who the captain is, but does it really matter to you as much as it used to, who your captain is, or is it more about having leadership throughout the team and indeed the club with the likes of bringing in McGregor? Do you think that's more important?
I think it's important. Your captain has got to get it. And again, what I said about McInnes applies to Shanklin as well. He grew up a Rangers fan. He grew up watching successful Rangers teams. He'll know what it's about. He also led a good Hearts team last season. Okay, they fell short, but that was, you know, he looked as if he was in command of the team on the pitch. And again, it's sometimes when push comes to shove, it's these guys that step forward. And again, I reiterate, there wasn't a lot of them around back in the days, you know, 10 or maybe longer, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. You could have played it spin the bottle in terms of who the Rangers captain was going to be. You know what I mean? Goff was a captain, but it could just as easily been John Brown or Davy Robertson or the goalie or Ian Ferguson or Ali McCoist. You had, you know, each and every one of these guys were captain material and led by example. And if there was one thing you would look for this time around for Rangers, is for more people to step up and show rather than hiding behind, you know, others when they go and get stuff. I think there have been too many Rangers players, you know, several of them haven't survived. They've all gone or been sold or are moving on. But there were too many who just showed no leadership, no desire, no passion. And you can't afford that over a long season. You have got to have a bit of fight and a bit of dig about you. And you've also got to, you know, you've also have to prove that Rangers shirt doesn't weigh too heavy on you. It's a big step up for some of these guys, but I expect to see more from certain individuals who played a lot of games last season and were, you know, as regular as you could be, but were badly lacking at different times, be it cup ties or important, you know, league matches. They just disappeared, and you can't afford to do that again.
No, absolutely. And then just looking at the squad in general, we know, I don't mean in terms of numbers because we clearly have too many players and there are going to be players going out, but in terms of what you would regard as players that you'd expect to be staying, we'll assume that Raskin is probably going to go, could be wrong, but what do you think of the squad? And I suppose the second question is, if we had the squad that we have now, where would it finish in the league for you?
I think the players that are there, I'm just looking at the kind of squad and the last couple of friendlies against St Etienne and against West Ham. Obviously, there's one or two guys have been missing and he's chopped and changed a bit. I think ultimately you're looking at that squad and thinking you're going to need some outstanding seasons from one or two of those players if they are going to succeed this year, be it in cup competitions or be it in the league. That said, there could be guys coming in there and they could be, you know, a mix between Captain Courageous and, you know, Mr. Indestructible. I think there's been too many Rangers players of late have found it too easy to miss games. You know, it's been the least wee thing, the least wee niggle. Oh, he's got this issue, he's got that issue. Again, that might be down to the results and the fact they're not playing on a winning team. If you're playing on a winning team, you start to get to the sharp end of the competitions, and then everybody wants to play. You know, nobody's got a knock or a niggle or whatever it is. I just think too many of them have hidden when they really need somebody to step up. So in terms of the squad, until such times as they actually got a couple of games under their belt, you are not really going to know who is going to be, where the strong men are going to come from, where the guys that are going to, you know, run through brick walls for you are going to be. I expect one or two are now looking at it, they might have a chance. You know, the fact that Curtis made the Scotland squad for the World Cup when he wasn't even playing at Ibrox tells you so much about how people viewed him compared to some of the signings that they actually brought in that played in his position. I mean, that for me was just criminal, absolutely criminal. And you're never going to know how good these guys are unless you do give them a chance. And he was lucky to get a chance at Kilmarnock and proved that he could actually do it. So I think he's going to be a key figure. And I just don't see it. I just don't think it's in his makeup or his mentality to say, well, I could do this at Kilmarnock last season, but I think struggle because I'm playing in front of these big crowds. To be honest, I think that may be the inspiration that he needs, and he could actually be a revelation this season.
Yeah, I hope so. And the important thing that he needs is, I've seen bits and pieces of criticism, and he's played a couple of friendlies. What he needs is he needs time, and he needs to just be let play. And it's not one poor game and he's out for 6 weeks. He needs a run, and his confidence will grow, because that's what Kilmarnock gave him, and it worked. So I just wanted to have a quick conversation before we start to look towards the game tomorrow night. We'll have a quick conversation on our four strikers that we have at the minute. And I'm just interested to know how you would rank them 1 to 4 in terms of best to least being used.
Well, Shanklin's number one, isn't he? I mean, I don't think there's any argument there. In terms of who the number two might be, I think people will look at Shambiti, given the fact that he was there last season. He might need a kick up the backside to actually get something out of him, and the arrival of Shanklin might do that. But to be honest, if you were asking me the question and I was going to put any money on it, I think you're looking at Shanklin, and then, as far as I'm concerned, you could probably throw a blanket over the other three. I think they've had chances, you know, to prove themselves, and so far you have to say they're disappointed. You know, I think Nadiri might be the one that'll maybe come up on the rails. The other two had more than their fair chances last season and didn't really do anything. Yes, I mean, he scored some incredible goals, absolutely memorable goals. But when you really needed him to step up and score goals at vital times, he didn't do it. And I think, you know, it's going to be interesting. I think anybody of those other three, if there's somebody there that can score a goal or a couple of goals over the first couple of weeks of the season, they'll be seen as being dependable. And therefore, they'll step ahead in the queue as to who's either going to play alongside Shanklin or who's going to play back up to him.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with you in terms of Shanklin being first, but I would actually, I would have Tremitti quite clearly in second. I agree with you, but I've seen enough towards the end of the season to know that there is something in there, and I have a feeling this being his second year, I think he will hopefully hit the ground running, and I think he'll have a good season for us if he's still there. The reason that I was asking the question was, I would say, certainly the perception that I've got is that if you ask most Rangers fans that, they would have Nedeiry quite a bit ahead of Miowski. And yeah. I was just wondering, now, I sort of feel, not that a Rangers fan would ever judge a player positively or negatively too early, of course, but I sort of feel like maybe we have overhyped Nedeiry a wee bit. I was a wee bit concerned by the performance last week. Now, I'm not basing everything on one friendly, but it's not concerned, sorry, that's probably not fair, but what I mean is I would find it hard to look at his body of work and Miowski's 4 minutes on the pitch and put Nedeiry ahead at this moment in time, because Miowski, say what you will about his performances at times and his running, but he does find the back of the net.
Yeah. I mean, it's a meeting one. I'll take your point. There is something there. I don't think you see it often enough. I don't think you see it regular enough. And that is, it's like having a luxury car or a really good car that constantly lets you down with the daftest, breakdowns. It just seems to be that he will score the goals you least expect and then fail, handsomely when it comes to a tap-in or just the goalkeeper to beat or a free header or whatever it is. And until he gets that kind of regularity about him, I think there's always going to be question marks, huge question marks. It's fine saying, Ranger could sell him, they've only signed him for $9 million, they could double their money just based on potential. But I have seen countless players who had potential. I've seen guys at the age of 28, people are still talking about his potential. You know what I mean? If you don't do it between ages of sort of 18, 19 to maybe 22, 23, are you ever going to do it? And I think that you need a bigger return from him this season. In fact, the ideal situation would be if he started outscoring Shankland and gave the manager a real problem, or gave him food for thought as to whether he went with one up front or two up front.
No, you're absolutely right in terms of you do need a bigger contribution. You know, a player like that, you bring him in, you pay big money for him in Rangers terms. You're going to expect by season two to see more on for your return. But I actually think the point that you made about how he sort of misses the simpler ones, which he does absolutely, and can score the sublime, I think he's almost the perfect partner for Shankland because of that, because Shankland's that instinctual striker that will tidy up the ones that maybe Tremitti's not getting. So I just wonder if they'll complement each other quite well. I don't know what you think of that.
Yeah, I mean the thing is, the danger of that though is, Ben, and I take your point. For me, Shankland can't play two positions at once. You know, it can't be setting up the striker if he is the actual striker. He's then got the onus falls onto him. And it's going to be interesting, again, I think, and I've said it time and time again, there are some seasons that you watch Rangers and you get somebody who's scored, 20, 25 goals. Other seasons, there's four guys on 15 goals. There needs to be a bigger contribution from either guys in the fringes or guys that are actually playing in key positions. I mean, there was a time where Rangers could score regularly, be it Barry Ferguson or be it Alberts or Van Bronckhorst or, Ian Ferguson. People will have a dig and score from distance. It's almost as if that's been coached out of them. Just pass, pass, pass. And I'd love to see one or two Rangers players actually, when you sight a goal, actually hit it, actually try and score a goal, try and score from distance. You can do it. You obviously you do it in training. You've obviously done it in the past. So have a go. I think that's something that Derek McInnes might actually encourage, is for players to be more proactive rather than just do the side-to-side passes and almost like a nice hockey power play. Actually, take the onus on yourself and see if you can actually contribute some goals.
Mm-hmm. And then just last thing before we move on to tomorrow night's game, as I said before, who would be your player of the year? Who's your prediction for that? I just want to say now, obviously.
I will say that, and I've always loved wingers. I really love Curtis to have a good season. I'd really like him to show, and after a season or a couple of seasons, start to be quoted in similar terms to other famous wingers that Rangers have had. You know, I don't mean just to suddenly become the next Davy Cooper, or, you know, turn on performances like Neil McCann or Kanchelskis or whatever it is. I just want somebody who contributes and actually looks as if he's enjoying playing against the opposition, terrorises the opposition a wee bit, rather than getting the ball and passing it back inside and then make a run. Take the ball at your feet, make a run, make the space, get a cross in. Because, you know, as I said earlier on, if you get the crosses in, Hearts proved it last season, you get the crosses in, Shankland will score goals.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't mind that. That would be good. That would be good to see. So moving on to the game tomorrow, as I said before, you know, we've talked about how Rangers don't start seasons terribly well. Hopefully that's a thing of the past. How would we go about it in terms of the starting the lineup? What would you go with?
Well, the first thing I and there's no point dwelling on what happened last season or who has left too much. I think one of the issues that Rangers had last season was that Butland wasn't at his best, but sometimes I thought Butland was struggling behind a back line that he was never quite sure who was actually there or who would show for him. You know what I mean? I think they chopped and changed central defenders. I think they chopped and changed full-backs as well. And I think the kind of the shape and the steadiness that Rangers show early in the season could come from the fact that you're looking to have a settled back line. It's interesting that the lineups against, you know, St Etienne against West Ham, it was Fernandez and Godfrey that took the centre back roles. It's going to be interesting to see if that is going to apply for the start of the season. I don't see why it should change, because they look quite robust. And in fact, there was a bit of, dare I say it, old school about them, that if they were troubled, they basically booted the ball the way they were facing and cleared their lines rather than trying to hold on. I think that's something that you've only seen it a couple of times, maybe against St Etienne, against West Ham, but I think there's been a kind of command given that no point in trying to, you know, you're playing at Rangers in 2026. You're not Ruud Krol or Franz Beckenbauer or, you know, or Baresi or Maldini. You need to learn and just cut the mistakes out. And I think there's been a positive, you know, note on that one, that Rangers have actually done the basics a lot better than they have done, you know, of late. I think the big test will come, of course, against a team who's actually trying to beat them rather than somebody who's just trying to get fitness. And bet your bottom dollar, Dundee United will be like, you know, wasps on an attack tomorrow night. They will fancy their chances. They will want to get a statement performance in this game against Rangers. And this is going to be a baptism of fire for one or two people, you know. And I imagine there's one or two that are playing, will play tomorrow. You know, you're thinking about, you know, Neil and the likes, that'll be their sort of first real taste of Scottish football. They have to hit the ground running. They don't have the luxury of other people being around them who've done it before, because basically there's a bunch of people around about them who haven't done it. That's why there's been such a change and a change in manager and all the rest of it. So if you want to prove yourself to be a Rangers player, you have to do it yourself. And again, I think there's one or two who may end up starting or being on the bench for this game, who, if Rangers get a bit more business done, they might find themselves surplus to requirement. So if they've got any ambition or any hope of still being a Rangers player, they need to turn in a performance from the off against Dundee United.
Mm-hmm. Fair. So moving into your midfield then, who is going to be the important ones in there? I would assume Devlin's in there.
Yeah, well, Devlin suddenly becomes almost the second name in the team sheet, doesn't he? Well, I would say Shankland, then Pandora, then
pretty Curtis. Much, yeah.
But yeah, you're then looking at Devlin suddenly, you know, after his performance last weekend. But then again, he's come to Rangers, and the manager knows what he's getting. It's not as if he's going to suddenly turn up with a complete surprise to Derek McInnes. Derek McInnes saw him as a mainstay of that Hearts team. And if he could play for Hearts last season the way he did, I know he missed a bit of the season. And I think that told in Hearts' performance as the season went, you know, into the testing stages near the end. But I think he is a kind of guy, and I agree with you, he's the kind of guy who... the sort of terrier type player that you want to put a shift in, either covering the ground or putting the tackles in, winning the balls and getting the moves going out to the wider players. I still think, actually, you know, Curtis, I don't want to put too much weight on his shoulders, but I think if it was possible at all for Rangers to find another winger from somewhere, then that would be a position that I think needs filling on the right. I think if you look, when I started made a kind of mental note, and I actually wrote it down to make sure I wasn't kidding myself, the number of wingers that Rangers have had in the last three seasons is utterly incredible. Absolutely utterly incredible. And none of them other than Cherney, who actually wasn't a Rangers player, so to speak. None of them, other than Cherney, has actually showed. I think if Cherney made a reappearance, you then have to ask yourself about the kind of business model, because if they signed him, there's no resale value to it, given his age. But could he contribute? Yeah, and he's got some plus points going for him. One, he's been there before. Two, it didn't seem to faze him playing at Ibrox or playing against anybody. And dare I say it, as a third bonus point, he seemed to know how to wind up certain opposition fans, which will live long in the memory. So he could be an asset, but whether Rangers want to spend that kind of money again, I'm not so certain, or I'm not so sure. Then again, they could be a wash with cash. They could have the best part of 50-odd million quid if Raskin and Cerviti, you know, went in these moves that are supposed to be out there. You then get money to basically throw at anybody you like. But I think somebody to balance the team on the other side, I don't see Diamande being the kind of answer to that. I really don't. I think Rangers have got a couple of guys who look much of a muchness now. Yeah, you need them in centre midfield, simply because the way football is just now, you need the athletes. Guys get tired, and they also pick up bookings left, right and centre just by making tackles that, you know, 30 years ago you would get away with.
By being Cammy Devlin.
But just actually by doing your job, by being physical, by making the challenges, it's where football is. But I still think you need somebody to balance the team. Definitely. And again, the lineup against Saint Etienne, you know, compared to West Ham, okay, they left Shanklin on the bench. You knew they would because you're a week away from the opening game of the season. But, you know, Nadiri started, Curtis started one side, Gasara started the other side. You had a fundamental sort of midfield with sort of one holding player, maybe two holding players, and two other guys, Asgard being one of them. How he gets that mix, I'm not quite sure. Because again, you go back to the first game against St Etienne, and he played with two strikers. So it's going to be, I think that bit of it is going to be interesting. I've always been of the opinion that unless you're starting with somebody like John Carew or Gabriel Batistuta, you need to start with two strikers. One the most basic thing is you then double your chances of one of the strikers getting a goal, which is no bad thing. And you know, Rangers have all through the years have had partnerships playing up front. But again, if you play with two strikers, then that leaves you slightly unbalanced, maybe in the wide positions or overrunning the midfield. And it's always going to be a compromise unless you've got a striker who is more a kind of number 10, if you like, who can create as well as score goals. And unfortunately, they cost money or they're playing elsewhere.
Fair enough, yeah. So, just before we wrap it up, then give us your prediction on your scores for tomorrow night.
Ben, you should know me long enough. as Winston Churchill once said, one is enough. And, you know, I always say that if you win 1-0, you get 3 points and a clean sheet, and that's a good start. You know, the thing is, you could win 1-0 or 2-0. And it'd be more comprehensive than winning 4 or 5. And sometimes if you score 4 or 5, it's deceptive. You're never quite good the second time or third time you play that season. So I would take Rangers to win by whatever margin. You're looking for 3 points, and that's all you can ask for in your first game of the season.
Absolutely. I don't care how it comes, own goal, whatever, we'll take it. For me, I think it's going to be a 3-1 win, one for Asgard and two for Shanklin, but I will take it whatever way it comes. And Stuart, thank you very much for joining me this evening.
I'm confused as hell, being a Thursday night rather than a Friday. That's another story entirely.
I know, absolutely. So thank you to everybody for watching the podcast tonight. And it's been live, as always, on YouTube. But if you have missed it or anything, you can catch us on Spotify, Acast, Stitcher, all of your where you get your podcast from. Thanks once again to Forest Precision Engineering. And John will be back on Sunday night to talk about the game, hopefully about our win. And he will be joined by Alan. So join them at 9:30 on Sunday night. Thank you.